This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
Jason Tatum rises for three and connects. Dagger time in Boston.
For argument's sake, Brooklyn loses in five games to Boston. Do you want to bring Steve Nash back for another season?
Our intensity dropped a little bit in the second half. Made a big difference.
If Jay Wright coached this team right now, they're not down 0-2 in the series at the moment.
This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
Get down in the mud, Larry.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, the big 7 o'clock hour. DPHRO Rothenberg is always presented by Progressive Insurance. Did I go too far there, RJ? Was that too much? Should I have not gone after Damer and Hardesty like that?
I mean, Damer's one thing, and you doubled down on calling him a weaselly turd.
He's a weaselly turd.
Well, why does Larry have to get...
Well, because you know why? Because Larry just stands by and almost allows Gordon to do that. Like, Larry was the originator of ESPN New York Tonight. Then Gordon jumps on board. It's a very nice show. I listen to it. They do an excellent job. But, you know, control your guy. Don't let Gordon just be spouting off garbage takes.
Larry Hardesty might be the nicest individual.
He might be.
Forget about that. This station. It might be the nicest individual in this city.
I adore Larry. If there was one person at the station that I had to be stranded on a desert island with, it might be Larry. But that doesn't mean that he shouldn't say, Gordon, cut it out. Know your place. You're barking down a bad path here. Don't take shots at these guys, especially when they're right. No?
I don't think Larry's the type to do that.
No, so Larry, I mean, he's a sports talk show host. Opinions are part of the agenda of what you do. Sometimes you have to stand up and say no. Stop it. You can't do that. It's a bad job by you.
Maybe Larry agrees with him.
Well, then say it. Say, you know what? I agree with you. Instead of, just straddling the fence. He's a fence straddler is what he is.
I don't think so.
If you agree with him, say you agree with him. If you disagree with him, then say that too. All right. The Nets. We got to go here, people. 1-800-919-3776. That is an awful performance last night from Brooklyn. There's no two ways about it. There is no after game one. Oh, that's a good loss. Oh, we were right there up until the end, and Kevin Durant wasn't even good. You got to feel great about that. No, you feel good about nothing. Kyrie stunk. Kevin Durant stunk. Bruce Brown stunk. Your coach stunk. You had a comfortable lead. You let it slip away. You got run out of the building in the fourth quarter. How could you possibly have a good feel about Brooklyn at the moment? Everyone who had the take, how many times did you hear, well, they'll just turn it on. They'll just turn it on. It's not so easy to just turn it on. It's hard to turn it on. You're not that good. They've never been that good. And no one will look in the mirror and admit it. They're not that good. And if you don't get A-plus performances from Durant and Kyrie, you will get run out of this postseason. You're not well coached. You don't protect the rim. You don't rebound well. What you do well is have two guys that are great. If you don't get them both, apparently, to play great, you're not going to win. This is what the Nets are. And everybody believed they'll just turn it on. It's not so easy. Boston's not a great team, but they're good. They're not great. You lead by 15 last night against them. You lead at halftime by double digits. You lead at the end of the third quarter by five. You went 8 minutes of the fourth quarter and scored 2 points. That's championship basketball to you? So everybody was on the, oh, they'll just turn it on. It's not so easy. And you got awful. First of all, their defense is not very good. They don't rebound. They don't protect the rim. They're not well coached. How in the world are you going to win games? You play your star players way too many minutes. 42 minutes from Durant, again. 40 minutes from Kyrie, again. And all I heard after game one, oh, if Durant just plays better, which of course will happen, they'll easily win game two. Better? He was significantly worse. And I'll say this. I have never seen Durant offensively struggle the way he is right now. He is, they're physical on him. He's having shots blocked. That never happens. He's shooting bricks. Last night was actually the first game that I ever remember where Durant would go up for like a 15-footer, and I think to myself, that might not go in. Like, he's so pure and such a great shooter that typically the thought is, yeah, there he goes again. Not now. It feels different. I had 42 minutes of Kevin Durant. He went 4 of 17 with 6 turnovers. Kyrie Irving, 40 minutes played, 10 points, 4 of 13. So I got 8 of 30 from those two guys. How in the world are you going to win a game like that? And remember when they shot 54% the other night? Oh, they'll just do it again. Last night, 46%. 16 assists. Now, they were even on the rebounds. And actually, it felt like for a while, we're really doing a great job on the offensive glass. There was a time in the third quarter. It was tied. Then they went on a mini 4-0 run. Then I forget who it was. Like, the shot clock was running down. They heaved up a long three. It didn't go in, but it hit the rim. They got it back, and I think it was Patty Mills who then knocked down a three, and you thought to yourself, it's back to 7. They've righted the ship. They've kind of stabilized. They fell apart in the fourth quarter. And now the only thing you have to say, because where else do you go here? They don't look good. So let's just say for argument's sake, you've had 4 games, right, of your star players playing. You've gotten 1 good one out of 4, and that was Kyrie in game 1. Both were awful in game 2, and Durant was not good in game 1. So of a possible 4, you have 1. So now what do you say? It's your last resort. And I've heard it this morning already. And by the way, 800-919-3776 on this team and on the Nets and where they stand. And if you believe they can fight their way back. I'll tell you what, they better win game 3. Because if they lose game 3 and they're on the verge of getting swept at home, this would be as big a gag choke job as you've seen in the NBA in a long time. A long time. And I know what you'll say. Well, look at the Lakers. You know what? The Lakers won a championship 2 years ago. This team was supposed to win championships. Oh, it's Durant. It's Kyrie. It's Harden. They're going to waltz their way. Well, right now they can't waltz their way out of the first round of the postseason. They are struggling mightily. And all anyone can say at the moment is, well, if Ben Simmons comes back, so that you're grasping straw. Think about how badly you're grasping straws. If Ben Simmons comes back, well, maybe that changes it. So you're now banking on a guy who offensively is as challenged as anyone in the NBA, who, I mean, maybe has a back issue, maybe has an emotional issue. I'm not judging anything. I don't know. But clearly there's something that's going on with him and hasn't played in almost a year and has never played with this group of players. But sure, I'll buy into your narrative. That will change everything. 1-800-919-3776. Jason in Jersey City. Jason, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, the big two, like big three, big two, like Steph Curry's coming off the bench for Golden State, and they're still dominating. It's Steve Nash. It's the management. Like, there's no support in this team. Like, there's no people who work hard. There's no, like, you know, Draymond.
But Jason, let me retort with this. Let me retort with this. This is what they wanted. This is what they wanted. Right? Be careful what you wish for. They wanted Steve Nash. These are the players they wanted surrounding them. Everybody, Dragic wanted to come here. Aldridge wanted to come here. Blake Griffin wanted to come here. They're put together poorly. They don't defend well. They don't rebound well. They don't protect the rim. And you're seeing it all blow up in their face right now.
It's like was LeBron their GM? Like put together just some sort of terrible team because they're basing it on everything of like what one or two guys can do. Just terrible.
I mean, it's brutal what they've done in the first two games. And again, and thanks for the call, you didn't watch game one and feel, boy, this is a problem. But everyone that had the take of, oh, they're just fine. What an awful, awful take. And for Steve Nash to sit here, and I want to take a listen to Steve Nash. 1-800-919-3776. Because he sits here and discusses a lack of energy in the second half. Here is Nash. What went wrong in the second half?
You know, I think our intensity dropped a little bit in the second half. And it made a big difference. I thought they were continued to be physical. You know, we also didn't convert. You know, we had a lot of opportunities. We didn't convert. Turned it over 14 times, as did they, but 19-8 off those turnovers. You know, that's kind of the game right there. So, you know, I thought it was kind of the live ball turnovers that was a big discrepancy.
So your season is potentially on the line. You've played a good half and have a comfortable lead. And you go out there in the final 24 minutes and you lack intensity and energy? Well, whose fault is that? That is brutal.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I wonder how many trades we're going to have leading up to the draft. Not draft night, leading up to the draft. And we'll hear from Joe Shane in a couple minutes. I guess a couple things he had to say yesterday was that, you know, he's certainly willing to trade 5 and 7, has already gotten calls about them. And then it sounds like Bradberry will never play for the Giants again. Another giveaway coming your way. I don't know when, but at some point, let's say the next 10 minutes, you will be the proud owner of MLB The Show on Nintendo Switch. So that's a big deal. And if that's not enough reason to keep you tuned in, we have gorgeous sports talk on the horizon. 1-800-919-3776. We can go anywhere. Nets on the table. What a gross loss that was last night. And I think I saw this. They now have a 10% chance to win the series. 10%. And what else? Something. Oh, yeah. The Celtics have been in 41 series that they've led 2-0, best of 7, and they're 40-1. So good luck with that if you're the Nets, who really have their own issues. And here's the thing. If they don't get great play, and I think it's obvious from both, right? If they don't get great play from Durant and Kyrie, they're not winning in this series. That's it. Great play from Durant and Kyrie. Now, maybe it'll be easier at home because when you're home, you figure that the fringe players play better, but their best two players have to play really well. 1-800-919-3776. Let's go to Muhammad, Long Island. Muhammad, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, man. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say, I feel like Durant needs the lion's share of this blame if things do go bad, because he and Kyrie made it seem as if they didn't really need a coach when they put this team together. And I don't feel like we could blame Nash too much, because it's not like he's a bad coach. He's just an inexperienced
coach. He's a bad
coach,
Muhammad. So, I mean, let's be honest. He's a bad coach. But I agree with your point. I think you're dead on accurate. I think that Durant and Kyrie deserve a lot of the blame. They were so flippant about it, too. And thanks for the call. They were so, we don't need a coach. But anybody is the coach. Well, they're being outcoached in every game now. Right? I mean, you know, get someone different in the corner than Bruce Brown. When the double comes, have a different plan instead of the same thing every single time. It's the same thing. Nothing changes. Shift up your lineup a little bit. Blake Griffin can't get into a game. Aldridge can't get into a game. As you're hemorrhaging last night and you're in the fourth quarter and you can't put the ball in the basket, you didn't think at all, you know, maybe I should change up my philosophy or strategy a little bit. That wasn't even a thought or an idea. It's bad coaching. Rodney, Jersey City. Rodney, you're next up on 98.7, buddy.
Dave, I couldn't agree with you more, my friend. That is a bad coaching job on Steve Nash, and we got to stop giving him a pass. We have to start holding him accountable. I'm a big Brooklyn Nets fan. I supported this team since they were in Jersey. We represent, but Steve Nash has to be better. And yes, that is Kyrie that said we didn't need a coach, but that was 2 years ago. Steve Nash has to be better with the adjustments and give Boston credit. Boston's defense suffocated Durant, and we did.
But there was no plan.
Listen to you. I love this show, my friend.
Thank you, Rodney. You're a great man. But that here's the thing. How do you adjust? What are you going to do? I mean, Durant has to be better. So how do you set him up to be better? It's the same thing. I mean, all game long. All right, just take him. What's the plan? Kevin, high screen, and then you go. I mean, that's not even coaching. It's like coaching 101. Figure out how to get a guy in his best spot. Come off a screen. Do something. Post him up. It's nothing. It's the same thing. Take it up high. Feed him the ball. And then attack the basket. And pull up for the jumper. Be creative. Do something to get him into his spots. And then don't do anything to get him into those spots. Go to Ira in Staten Island. Good morning, Ira. You're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, Dave. Hopefully he works on the mend, and you're right. Good advice. Let him stay home tomorrow and come back lock and loaded Monday.
There you
so
go.
So with the Debo Samuel story, I think, quite honestly, I think they should stick RJ and me in a room, and we should hammer out the deal. Let Lynch and Douglas take a couple of days off. RJ and I will get it done. We already discussed it.
What are you giving up? All right, so firstly, I want to ask you a couple of questions. You want him, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, I agree with you. And you agree with me, you would take him over DK Metcalf, correct?
It would be close, but yeah, I would probably take Debo because of the solid LaFleur connection.
And he can do everything, right? I mean, he's a Swiss Army knife of what he's able to do. All right, so let's get down to the bottom line. What are you, RJ, you pop on your mic. Let's get this done right now. RJ, you there?
Present.
Okay. Ira, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. I will be the intermediary, and if it gets out of line, there's name calling, anything like that, I'll jump in. All right. Debo Samuel, RJ, you're going to trade him. Firstly, Ira, you're going to pay him, correct?
I'm going to pay him. I'm going to give him a contract, absolutely.
All right. Ira, make your first offer to RJ.
Okay, here, I'm spitballing here, RJ, but this is the deal. You could have my 10, I'll throw in a 4 this year, and I'll even give you Denzel Mims.
RJ, your response to the 10th overall selection of 4 and the very talented Denzel Mims.
So I got no use for Denzel Mims. But if this trade must go down, I'll take the 1, I'll take the 4. We're going to need to swap out Mims for some sort of ancillary pick. Ideally, I think I'd be aiming for a day 2 pick.
All right. Ira, would you increase your offer with a day 2 pick, or would you maybe swap a 3rd round pick where now the Niners get your pick and you get their 3rd round pick?
That done deal. That's the deal. We'll swap 3s. You could have my 4. You could have my 10. You could still have Mims. Give me Samuel, and the deal's done.
RJ, we're coming to you with what might be the best offer you can get. You're getting a 10, the 10th overall selection. You're getting a swap of 3s, and you're getting a 4.
So I may just want the 3 outright. I mean, Joe Douglas, if he's done one thing well, it's broker deals. So I don't know. I would push my luck.
All right, Ira, let me go back to you. Forget about a swap of the threes. Would you give next year's third round pick in 2023 in addition to the 10th overall selection and a fourth round pick this year?
I'll do that if you give me back next year's four.
RJ, let me go back to you. Would you do that where you get next year's three but give up next year's four?
Next year's six.
Ira, let me go back to you. Would you do that if you get next year's six and he gives up next year's three?
Nope, that's my final offer. And you got to remember, RJ, you got a disgruntled player who's never going to play another down for you. You got to recoup what you could get. I think my deal is solid. I don't think you're getting a better deal from any other team.
RJ, this is it. There is no other deal on the table. Ira is offering you the 10th overall selection. He's offering you next year's three. You give him next year's four, and he gives you this year's four.
So I'm turning it down, and for this reason, because I could be wrong here, but here's my understanding. With the CBA that the sport operates under now, if you don't play any games, you don't accrue a league of towards your veteran status. And I don't think he would hit free agency as scheduled after this year, so he'd be stuck.
Ira, would you do the deal now?
I'll do the deal right now. All right, now on the table. 10th pick, swap threes, next year four. I'll even throw in a five next year, and you could still have Mims.
RJ, is it done?
I think we're close. I get the sense you don't want Mims also.
yeah, no, actually. I'll pay for the airfare. He's on you.
Yeah, the airfare puts it over the top, that extra few hundred bucks.
Right. All right, there you have it. Ira, thank you for the call. Love Ira. Yeah, and Raymond just unceremoniously hung up on Ira again.
Certain people want Iroh to be fired, I see.
Oh, yeah, no, I know. Let's just call it out the way it is. Our assistant program director, John Winthrop, on the group text, Iroh should be fired. Fired out of here.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Raymond, would you not say that I have more than picked up the slack over these last couple days?
Yeah, and there was never a doubt that you would. You're, like we said on Tuesday when this started, you're really good at this. So, never a concern.
Nice. That's very nice. I almost worked out a trade for Deebo Samuel there, too, between RJ and Ira.
But I got to tell you, man, like Ira was, it sounded to me more like Ira was more desperate to get rid of Denzel Mims than he was to bring in Deebo.
By the way, the last person you would ever, if a team is out there looking for a new GM, the last person I would ever consider hiring, our assistant program director, John Winthrop. I think he would be just a horrendous general manager.
I have not checked the text recently. What did he say?
So he says, I wouldn't give up number four or number 10 for Deebo. They can have both seconds and more, but not this year's ones. They didn't even offer 10 for Hill. Douglas should be fired if he then offers it for Deebo. All right, firstly, I don't know that they wouldn't have offered it for Hill. They just didn't. And I responded, you're nuts. I'd give up 10 and more. He's a stud. And then John responds, who's probably half has his head in the Mickey Mouse cloud right now. He says, you'd be fired too. Better players like Adams and Hill moved for far less. Listen, those were good deals for those teams. I'm not going to deny that. But I think you're the Jets, and you have to pay a premium because you're the Jets. And I think that's fair.
I don't think you can count Tyreek Hill in this one because Tyreek Hill was in a situation where he could pick where he wanted to go, and he clearly wanted to go to Miami. And I think if the Jets, if that wasn't a factor and the Jets knew that they could sign him to a different contract once they traded for him, they would have offered more than the Dolphins did.
Yeah, they would have, but he didn't want to go there. And that's the thing. I don't think that, and we had this story last week. I don't think a lot of players want to go to the Jets. I think if you're the Jets, you have to overpay, right? You're going to have to give them a monster contract and you're going to have to give the Niners a lot. Cause why would, if you're Deebo Samuel and you have any sort of say, why would you ever want to go to the Jets over like the second team is the Eagles? Why would you ever want that?
The only reason you would say that is if he has some sort of connection with the former 49ers coaches that are on the Jets staff. That's it.
And then Hurley's another one. Thank God these guys are good at like programming radio stations. Because now Hurley is responding on this. He says, I'm with John. Also, you have to pay the dude. If we're talking DK, then get back to me. You think that Metcalf is better than Deebo Samuel? You're crazy. Can't do the things that Deebo Samuel can do. If I get Deebo to waive his rights and say, use me as a running back, short passing game, whatever. If it's Deebo solely as a receiver, I agree. But if it's Deebo the way he was used with the Niners, he was the best player in the postseason last year. Guys are nuts. All right. By the way, how about this? Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving in the second half. Do you guys know what they did, RJ Wright? Do you have any idea, or is this new to you?
Are you talking field goal percentage?
I'm talking, I got field goal overall, just the number of field goals made and attempted, three-point field goals made and attempted, turnovers, and their plus-minus. Do you know this or not?
I vaguely know. I think they made one bucket combined from the field.
They shot a combined 1 for 17. They were each 0-for-1 from 3. Durant had 4 turnovers to Irving's 1. Durant was minus 19. And Kyrie was minus 20. I mean, that is just grotesque is what it is. Awful. From the best players in the NBA, needing the win, having the win right on the verge of closing it out. And that happens? Brutal. Rob Clark, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, Dave, how are you?
I am doing really well, Rob.
Good. Glad to hear. I have a quick question. And I'm not saying that this guy with the Nets is going to be the savior to this whole problem, but whatever happened with LaMarcus Aldridge that he's never getting off the bench?
They don't play him. They just don't play him.
Why?
How can I answer that question?
I would think you put him. I mean, get him. I mean, he's the guy that did, you know, good all season, and now once the playoff comes along, he's like forgotten.
Listen, I think that they have clearly what they've done is shorten their rotation, right? Thanks for the call, Rob. They've shortened the rotation. You're getting nothing from Aldridge. He doesn't even step on the court. You get nothing from Blake Griffin. Look, I know Blake Griffin is not a star, but wouldn't you? I mean, at least he can add some semblance of a physical presence. Like, do I have to watch Tatum go down the lane and Jaylen Brown go down the lane every single time and just, you know, float to the basket and lay it in? Drummond can barely move. I mean, put someone into the floor, for God's sakes. Just once. AJ in Brooklyn. Good morning, AJ. You're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. How are we doing today?
We're doing great, AJ. What do you got? You sound very excited, very effervescent.
Real excited. You know, I really came here, a humble Boston fan, was here to talk about the big win. But I really want to talk about, is Jason Tatum going to enter that top 10, top 5 conversation after this playoff? Not just this series,
but
after this playoff.
Let's see. Let's see how it plays out. Do they win the series? If they don't have Chris Middleton, do they beat Milwaukee? I mean, if they get to the Eastern Conference Finals, do they have a chance at that? Let's see. I think the jury is still out. Top 10, I'd say he's probably there now. Top 5, I think he has some work to do. Right? I mean, Jason Tatum is phenomenal. And again, he was not very good last night until he had to be. And then he's hitting big shots. And he was a good player, too. Jaylen Brown is a very good player. He's not great, but he's very good. And I thought one of your X factors last night was Pritchard. He's good. No fear in that kid either. So what did he give you? He gave you 10 points on 5 of 7 from the floor. Grant Williams gave you 17 on 4 for 4, 3 for 3 from 3, and 6 for 6. He didn't miss a shot in 32 minutes. Again, Tatum, 5 of 16, but I think he was like 3 of 14 and then finished 5 of 16. So again, all their starters go for double figures, and then you get two guys off the bench who played really, really well. And where is that from Brooklyn? You know, Kyrie was not good. Durant was not good. Dragic actually played well. But Thomas doesn't even step onto the court. Aldridge doesn't step onto the court. Blake Griffin doesn't step onto the court. And I got to be honest, I thought you'd get more from Nick Claxton. I thought in these games you'd get more from him, and you haven't. He's kind of shrunk in the big moment. Let's go to Richie in Charlotte. Richie, good morning. You're next up on 98.7.
Good morning. I think the biggest, most glaring thing, and I know we've been harping about it, is coaching. But Ime Udoka was with the Nets last year as an assistant and saw Durant and Kyrie in practice and was with them every day. And it's so glaring how different a coaching job Steve Nash does compared to Udoka, who's in his first year. And Boston couldn't have been a worse matchup for the Nets in the first round because he's coaching circles around these guys. They're swarming Durant. And Van Gundy was hitting on it last night during the broadcast. But he knows how. I mean, Durant's an all-time player, but he's absolutely having these guys swarm him, and they look horrendous, horrendous. And it couldn't be more glaring. And Steve Nash,
you're right.
They play no defense.
We've gone through the laundry list, Richie. We've gone through the, I mean, they don't, I mean, think about it. I mean, it's hard to win. You don't protect the rim. You don't play a lot of defense. It's hard. You turn the ball over a lot. Your coach is not all that good. Like, you better, the things that you have better be elite if you're going to win games. And they weren't last night. And because of it, now you're staring 0-2 right in the face. I wanted to get into this quickly because I'm frustrated with it. I'm very frustrated with it. And that is the Giants' number one pick from last year, Kadarius Toney. You can't show up for, and I know it's voluntary workouts. But why are you not there? And I guess they asked Brian Daboll the other day, well, he hasn't even seen a playbook yet. They're not giving the guy the virtual playbook. You can't show up. So Kenny Golladay is there and Leonard Williams is there. But for some reason, I mean, this guy was never on the field last year. And in the two games that he played, New Orleans and Dallas, I thought he played really, really well. You have a new regime. It's a fresh start. And you don't show up. I mean, if you're Joe Shane and you're Brian Daboll, what could you possibly think right now as we sit here about Kadarius Toney? He's got all the promise in the world, but there were some red flags about him, and if you remember, some issues surrounding him when he was at Florida, as seemingly a lot of the kids that have gone to Florida have when they get to the NFL and that whole process. New staff, ready to go, and this is what you do. Great. It's wonderful. Now, if there's a reason, and maybe there is that I don't know of, that's a legitimate reason, I will eat these words. But if he didn't show up just because he didn't want to show up, how much confidence can you have in that kind of a kid? I would say very little, if at all. So I don't need to spend a ton of time on it, but I mean, to say I'm unhappy would be a tremendous understatement. Forget about a leader. Just be part of the team. Show up. Couple days. Everyone else is there. You should be there. Take a listen to Joe Shane quickly. We'll get back to your calls at 800-919-3776. He says, do you want to make those picks? Here's the question. Do you want to make those picks 5 and 7, or are you interested in trading down?
Yeah, both. I'd be open to both. You know, again, just I said it in my introductory press conference, you know, we still want to compete today and build for tomorrow. So, you know, playing both sides of that, you know, if it's picks this year or picks into the future, you know, again, those are cost controlled assets that young players that, you know, could really help us set the foundation here. So I'd be open to either or.
I mean, how nice is it to hear a GM say, you know what, I'm open to whatever. If I get blown away with a great deal, would I trade them? Of course. Would I like to have these picks now? I'm not opposed to that either. Rather than, I have the second pick in the draft, I'm not even fielding phone calls on it. And people, and I know what you people say. Well, why are you still so hung up on Gettleman? You're still paying the price of Gettleman. The Giants, I mean, look at who they signed free agent-wise this offseason. Look who they had to cut this offseason. Why? That's Gettleman. So when they're out from under from Gettleman, maybe I'll start ragging on him or stop ragging on him. But until then, no, it doesn't go away. And I can hold the grudge. Oh, I can hold the grudge. I promise you that. Let's go to Shooter in Stamford. Shooter, you're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, brother. You're doing a great job, by the way, without Rick.
Thank you.
But we miss you, Rick. We know you're listening. We miss Rick.
I don't know that he's listening. He actually might be sleeping. I'm not sure.
Wow. He must be really sick then, because Rick has to listen. But Kadarius Toney, I mean, he showed a lot of promise I want to get to the Nets, but maybe we could trade him away before he blows up and does something stupid. But what do you think, the Nets.
First of all, what do you really? Yeah, first of all, you need him. Second of all, what do you think the trade value is for Kadarius Toney?
He looked like he looked very, very quick. He looked kind of like a not as good as them, but like a Debo or a Tyreek Hill.
I thought when he was healthy last year, he looked. There were moments when it was jarring how good he looked. Like I thought he looked phenomenal. That being said, I don't know if he's a headache. He couldn't stay healthy. You think teams are clamoring for a Kadarius Toney?
Not clamoring, but I do think he has promised that he can be very good. He has a big upside. I picked him on my fantasy team after that one game, and he screwed me, but he does have a lot of promise. But
I agree with you, but you need him is my point. You don't have – I mean, who do you have at receiver? You don't have a tight end. You don't even have a tight end. Right, moved on from Rudolph, moved on from Evan Engram. You got Kenny Golladay, who I don't think anybody is writing home about right now, and you got Kadarius Toney, and he doesn't show up. It's a bad job by him, a really bad job.
It is, and Daniel Jones needs him if he has any hope for this year. But I have to talk about Kevin Durant, Dave. I've never seen a player play so soft. Like he just looked fragile. He looked like he was old. He looked like he couldn't jump at the end. Like they were banging into him. They played him so well. And like everyone's been saying, all the callers, that coach must have known it. Just get into his head. He only looked comfortable at the foul line. And the fact that Kyrie and him didn't show up at the end, like that's terrible
brutal.
On studs to
it
do that.
It was brutal. They should have thanks for the call. But I'll say this. I mean, it took to this point of his career. Like, it's hard for me to envision that Kevin Durant is going to play like this throughout the series. Boy, I'll tell you, if he gives you a games 3 and 4 or 5 or whatever it happens to be and struggles like this, he'll be crucified this offseason. Because a lot of this is his making, too, right? With great power comes great responsibility. What's that from? That's from something. Ray, you probably, what is that from?
That's the quote attributed to Spider-Man.
With great power comes great responsibility?
Yes. I'm shocked you don't know that.
Well, because
everyone knows that.
I'm not a comic book guy, though.
You don't have to be a comic book guy. You just have to be a regular person.
But I haven't even seen the latest incarnations of Spider-Man.
You could, like, go back to the 60s.
I knew the quote. I just didn't know who it was attributed to.
That's terrible by
He's
you.
He's so nasty to me. Your partner in crime there doesn't like Rye, and you're going to come after me for this?
It's Spider-Man. Everyone knows and loves Spider-Man.
I know Spider-Man. I'm familiar with Uncle Ben. I know the girl next door. I get all of it. I didn't know the quote was attributed to him. He doesn't like Rye.
You know who Uncle Ben is, and you don't know who the quote is attributed to.
Oh, forget it. It's Uncle Ben's quote. Forget it. Now, you know, you've lost me. You know what? I want to go to Corinne. Corinne is very relaxing, calming, and lovely. Good morning, Corinne.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
I was better before I let him talk, but how are you?
I'm great. So I just wanted to talk about the Nets real quick. I am so excited because I'm going to the game today, and I just love what I've been seeing from this team. I've been awake for 2 hours because I couldn't sleep, and I'm just so excited to go, especially seeing Max Scherzer the other night. I still can't believe that we have him. It's so surreal. I remember seeing him as a National, and it was crazy because he pitched so well. And just to have him on the team now, it's insane, and I love how Steve Cohen is spending his money now.
What a call. That's a good call, Corinne, and thank you. See, that's what I needed. I asked Raymond just a simple, can you point me in the right direction here question, and he's all over me. And I felt like there was agita. And then I go to Corinne, and she's excited. She's up early, the Mets thing. I mean, that's what I needed.
I'm just incredulous that you didn't know that.
I didn't remember. I don't think there's any reason
You remember a lot of things.
I didn't remember that. You know what? I come to you, a friend in need, saying, I don't remember this. Can you help me? And instead of just giving me the answer, you got to lambaste me. Why?
I feel you deserved it.
All right, you know what? You better hit a home run here. 3 stars.
Oh, we're going to the 3 stars.
Oh, yeah,
now.
We're going right there. Let's go. Come on, be
All
ready.
Right, then,
three stars.
Please.
Get the drop.
3 stars.
3 stars of DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Number three.
So number three, Dave, I'm going to give to you hitting.
Calls.
Hitting the calls. Calls. The calls were great today. You had a lot of good insight. You had Ira calling in, making trade demands. We'll get to that in a second. You had open tryouts basically to fill in for Rick, but I don't think that those went too well. Though you were
How about the one guy? I was like, would you do the rest of the show with me? He's like, I can. I'm at work already.
He was dedicated to driving his truck. Let him be. And Dave in Jersey City had some good takes too, but you're scared of him, so I don't know. We'll see.
I don't want him. He's a Cowboys fan. He can keep his day job.
Ah, interesting.
Number two.
I appreciate you sticking up for Rick when it came to Gordon. I think that was very admirable of you. I don't appreciate you going after my guy, Larry Hardesty.
Get down in the mud, Larry! He's a fence straddler is what he is.
Larry Hardesty.
You know what I don't like about Hardesty is the fact that he has a co-host who's clearly in the wrong, and Larry will not point that out to him. He's got to just play it right down the middle. Take a side. Even if you agree with Gordon, take that side, and then we'll come after you. But I know Larry, and he agrees with us.
Larry Hardesty is the closest thing to a saint that we have at this radio station.
I love Larry.
And I will
All
not...
I'm saying is pick a side.
Larry's going to do what's best for Larry.
And that's the definition of a selfish
number
person.
Number one.
maybe. And number one, I'm going to go to Master Negotiator RJ here because he worked very hard to try and negotiate a trade here with Ira. Ira was being a little bit too demanding, and I got to say, I feel like Ira was more interested in getting rid of Denzel Mims than actually acquiring Deebo Samuel. So I think that's kind of telling.
All right. A wonderful three stars of the day. Speaking of wonderful, we bring him in. One of my favorite people to walk the planet Earth. He is from KJM, which comes your way in just moments. The great Jay Williams. Good morning, Jay.
It hasn't been a good morning for me, Dave.
Why?
It has not been a good morning at all. I really need your advice on this.
All right. As always, I'm absolutely here for you. What's the matter?
I got violated, and I don't know how to feel about
it. Thank God Rick is not here.
So yesterday, yes. Dave, you're the perfect person for this. So yesterday, Keisha and I go to Bub City. We're on radio ESPN 1000 with our boys, Waddle and Silva. You were talking about sports, the Bears, the Bulls. And I'm at the bar, standing there, minding my own business, and a man, an autograph seeker, comes up behind me, and with the delicate inside full palm of his hand, touches my lower back.
Ooh.
The small of my lower back.
The small, yeah.
And firmly presses me against the bar in order to get my attention. Please tell me how the hell in the world are you supposed to react to that? As a grown-ass man, Dave, talk to me here.
I don't have the answer for you.
I felt awkward. I didn't know what to do.
Well, I don't
signed
blame
everything
you.
Very quickly.
No, I don't know what you were supposed to do in that situation. Now, I guess my question would be, what did you do? Did you turn around? Did you punch him? Did you turn around? Was there like a stare, a glare? What did you do? All he had to do was say, hey, Jay Williams, great to see you. Would you mind signing this autograph? He didn't need to start touching you.
He didn't say anything. It was just the press. And first off, I took a quick survey of the situation. I'm the one. Key and I are the only black guys in there, so I'm like, I can't knock this guy out. That would be assault. Like, it gives off the wrong look for the company. So I was flabbergasted. I was flustered. I said, what do you want me to sign? I just signed, and I typically will sign one or two pieces for you. I just signed 27 pieces. I'm like, whatever you want, just go away, please.
So he flustered you. He got in your head, and then you just signed away.
Yeah, I was looking for, I needed Ime Udoka and his defensive strategies against Kevin Durant because that would have helped me in that moment to save my small of my back. That's what I needed.
It tremendously would have. It really would. I'm sorry that this happened. I feel terribly for you.
Yeah, I'm going to write it in my new memoir coming up. Things I need advice on when a man touches the small of your back.
You want me to write the forward for that book, by the way?
Please. I mean, look, we have a partnership. By the way, you've been holding it down 2 days in a row by yourself.
Three days in a row.
Where is Rick at? Is he okay?
His whole family is sick, and they all have colds, and they have little kids,
okay.
And it's a mess. So
we
told him, take the time.
Understand.
Hopefully he's back tomorrow. If not tomorrow, definitely next week. I want to ask you this. Are the Nets done, or do they have anything left in the tank to fight back here?
They'll try to fight back, but I think they're done. And I think that the blueprint that Ime Udoka has shown to the world on how to stop one of the most prolific scorers the game of basketball has ever seen is quite genius. And we're heading towards a conversation very quickly, Dave, about Steve Nash not being the guy for this team. Now, he was hand-picked by KD, right? And people questioned whether he had the in-game adjusting ability, right, and the experience to actually coach this team in critical situations like this. So I'll ask you, as a fan of watching basketball and a guy who listens to your show on the weekends and every morning on my ride into work, Is he the guy that's going to help this team get over the hump? Because I say hell no.
No, but I never thought that. Like, see, there are some things that happen, Jay, and you got to go get back for the start of the show here in just a moment. There are certain things in sports that happen that we're like, boy, I didn't see that coming a mile away. How could you not have seen this? The guy's been overwhelmed all year. So all of a sudden, it continues in the playoffs. Not surprising. You have 7 seconds. What's coming up on the show today?
Oh, that we're digging deep into the Celtics and the Nets, baby. I'm in my bag right now. I'm like Jordan Poole for Golden State. I'm doing my thing. Let's get it, Dave.
I love it. Have a great time in Chicago and try to keep your hands to yourself. I'll talk to you, Jay.
Yeah, I'll watch my back, brother.
All right, RJ, need your help. It's Rule 76.
No excuses. Play like a champion. It's Rothy and
Rothenberg.
98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.